This is Only a Game. I'm Karen Given. As we enter mid-August, and as the end of this program draws nearer, we've been thinking a bit about legacies. How do legacies, particularly in sports, get passed on? This week, we're starting with a story about a coaching legacy. Here's Only a Game's Martin Kessler.
As a young girl growing up in Brooklyn, New York, Cheryl Toussaint was fast. Cheryl would race against other kids in her neighborhood. But she didn't know you could join a team or that the sport could change your life. But when Cheryl was 13, she heard about a youth summer program that was holding a track meet at a nearby schoolyard.
Some of my friends from the neighborhood were saying that they had racing going on out there. And since I'm always racing the kids on the block and I'm usually doing pretty good against them, why don't I go out and run against some real runners? I saw something extraordinary. I saw young women, young girls, actually doing strides and calisthenics in a group. They looked like they were having fun. They were very organized. They had on uniforms, and it just made me stop and watch and try to sort of understand. Remember, I'm 13 now. What on earth is going on out here?
Cheryl was wearing a dress and sandals. She borrowed a pair of pants, sneakers, and a t-shirt from a friend. And she entered a 100-meter race.
Totally unprepared, not dressed properly, and ended up finishing fourth.
All three girls who finished ahead of Cheryl belonged to the same running team. After the races were over, the girls started practicing with their coach. Cheryl stuck around and watched.
I was pretty determined to find out who they were.
After the practice ended, Cheryl asked one of the runners about the team.
She said, hey, it's open to girls in the neighborhood. You need to go over there and ask that gentleman if you can come.
That gentleman was the team's coach, Fred Thompson. Fred ran track at the City College of New York. In 1958, 9 years before the first African-American would sit on the Supreme Court, Fred graduated from law school at St. John's University. In 1963, he founded this team, the Adams Track Club in Brooklyn. It was for girls and young women, at a time when there weren't many organized sports opportunities for girls.
Girls are given a jump rope, maybe nothing else.
That's Fred speaking in a 1979 episode of the show Real People.
So what we are doing is giving them competitive experiences, and the competitive experiences enhances their feeling of personal worth. They realize how good they are. The girls who wear the Adams jackets are girls who have achieved things.
And 3 years after Fred Thompson founded the Adams Track Club, 13-year-old Cheryl Toussaint approached him.
He said, where do you go to school? That was his first question after asking me my name.
Next, he asked Cheryl if she'd ever run before. She said no.
He said, well, if I'm interested, the team practices every day after school at 3 o'clock. And all I needed to do was wear my sneakers and I could wear shorts, or if I had a gym suit, I could bring that and show up. And I did. And I did. And when I got there, it was like serious business going on. I mean, the girls had a routine. They came in with their books, their bags.
While they waited for practice to start, many of the girls did homework.
They were very disciplined. They knew that they had to get in certain things before practice started. And when practice was over, everybody sort of gathered in groups and started heading home.
Cheryl says this sort of structure and organization was new for her. She stuck around and she learned more about her new coach. At first, Coach Fred Thompson might sound like the sort of committed coach you've heard about before, a strict disciplinarian and also something of a father figure, one of those coaches who requires their athletes to bring in their report cards every quarter. But Fred Thompson went beyond that. He spent his own money on the team.
He's crazy, you know, and
that's Lorna Ford, a former Adams runner, speaking on that same 1979 episode of the show Real People.
He takes his whole income and he just spends it on us until, well, maybe I'll get it back when I get from funds or stuff like that, and nobody would do that. Nobody.
Cheryl says Fred also taught his runners how to best fold the New York Times and how to properly use silverware.
It was amazing that he took that kind of interest in the detail of helping to groom us. He said it was very important how we carried ourselves as young women, as young Black women, as representatives of our families, of our community, and of our country.
That last part, being a representative of the country, that would be particularly relevant to Cheryl Toussaint. Because after finishing fourth in that race against the girls from the Adams Track Club in her friend's pants, sneakers, and t-shirt, Cheryl got better and better. Her race was the 800 meter. She was among seven Adams runners who qualified for the 1972 U.S. Olympic trials. There, she could earn a spot at the Olympic Games. Fred took a leave of absence from his day job to focus on helping his runners. "Let's just say that I'll be very happy to go back to work in September," Fred told the New York Times that summer. "Right now, I am not the richest man in the world. Matter of fact, I'm broke." Cheryl remembers the night before the U.S. Olympic qualifier.
That entire night, I don't even think I slept. I really don't. I had a roommate, and I looked over every now and then, and I thought, oh, she looks like she's resting pretty well. I don't know what she was, but I just remember my eyes were closed, the palm of my hands were sweating, you know, were moist. And I thought, I'm not going to have the energy to run this race.
Cheryl did have the energy. She qualified, becoming the first member of the Adams Track Club to make the Olympics. Fred Thompson was there in Munich to see Cheryl Toussaint win a silver medal in the 4x400-meter relay. After the games, Cheryl says Fred and the Adams Track Club got a lot of positive attention. Not just because Cheryl had gone to the Olympics, but because so many of the other girls were getting to college on scholarships. Fred was about to get some financial support. The Colgate-Palmolive company learned about the team from a TV report, and the company partnered with Fred to create something called the Colgate Women's Games, a series of track meets that would draw girls and women not just from Brooklyn, but all up and down the East Coast. Fred became the full-time director of the Games, which began in 1974. Cheryl competed in the second edition of the Games. Then she started working alongside her coach at the Colgate Women's Games. And over the next two-plus decades, she worked her way up from meet coordinator to assistant meet director in 1999. As the years passed, Fred put an idea in Cheryl's ear.
That one day, I would be the likely or a likely candidate to be the meet director whenever he would, I guess, decide to retire. He felt I had the passion for it, I had the knowledge of it, and that I had earned over the years the respect of my peers and coworkers.
But Cheryl had some doubts. After all, she thought, this was the largest and longest running girls track series in the country.
I felt, wow, that's pretty daunting.
Yeah, no pressure.
You know, yeah, it's pretty daunting. And so I wasn't too sure that that was where I would end up.
But Cheryl says she was being primed the whole time to take over for Fred. And she says just like in her own running career where she kept improving and advancing, she'd also been building her skill set to take over the Colgate Women's Games.
So when the time came and he was sort of saying, oh, I think I'm going to have to step down and would be the one. And I just, at that point, I acquiesced. Okay, I'm ready.
Fred retired in 2014. Cheryl took over as meet director. In the coming years, Fred's health declined. In January 2019, he died of Alzheimer's. The following December, Cheryl oversaw the first Colgate Women's Games since Fred's death.
It was tough, no doubt about it. You can never prepare yourself to lose someone as great and as grand as he was.
Before the last day of racing, Cheryl addressed the 200-plus runners who had made the finals, and she had an announcement.
I also want to share with you that the founder and the director, former director of the Colgate Women's Games, the late Fred Thompson, was inducted into the USA Track and Field Hall of Fame.
Cheryl says every time you think about an athlete who comes through the Adams Track Club or through the Colgate Women's Games, it's a reflection of what Fred Thompson has done.
I compete in the 3,000 and the 1,500 meter run.
That's 12-year-old Brooke Shepherd, who first competed in the Colgate Women's Games in 2015.
I didn't think it'd be really fun because I used to see my babysitter's daughter run and she looked so tired. So I was really scared. But I mean, it was actually really fun and I wanted to continue.
What was fun about it?
The adrenaline I had, you know, like when they shot the gun, I'd have to sprint.
Brooke and her sisters, Rain, 14, and Ty, 15, grew up in Brooklyn, just like Cheryl. They're all fast and they've won junior Olympic medals and they all compete at the Colgate Women's Games.
Well, I want to talk a little bit about Cheryl, but I'm curious, what do you guys call her? Do you call her Cheryl or Coach Cheryl?
I call her Cheryl. I see her a lot. Yeah. I would say, hi, Cheryl.
The Shepherd sisters have competed at the games 5 years in a row.
Cheryl Tassant is very nice.
That's Ty.
We've seen her a couple of times, and she always says hi to us and gives us warm hugs, and then she always tells us how amazing we're doing and give us good luck. So yeah, she's an amazing person, and she inspires me because she's an Olympian. She was an Olympian, so I was just like, I want to be like her a little bit.
About 4 years ago, the Shepherd sisters and their mother experienced homelessness. But thanks in part to the publicity generated from the sisters' running success, filmmaker Tyler Perry learned about the family and decided to help. Here's the Shepherd sisters' mother, Tanya Handy, on the ABC show The View in 2017.
Well, now I have a better job by the grace of God.
Yeah.
And the beautiful Tyler Perry is going to pay my rent for 2 years. How can you not beat that?
Brooke, Rain, and Ty Shepherd are already thinking about their futures, college, and hopefully the Olympics. Until then, they'll compete at the Colgate Women's Games, founded by Fred Thompson, now run by Cheryl Toussaint.
That's Only a Games, Martin Kassler.